Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings once again, brothers and sisters. We would like to certainly welcome you to another Theologically Speaking with Jose and Danielle Dorsey. Listen, it has always been an honor, privilege, and a pleasure for us to be able to come to you by this way and actually have this this level of ministry. And so we always like to start our show out by thanking each and every one of you for participating in this ministry and doing the things that you're doing to help us stay on the airways. We also like to thank our executive producer, Brother James Brown, for providing us with this worldwide platform to allow us to come and minister. So with that being said, we do have an announcement, and that announcement is that we are leaving from this segment, if you will. Brother James Brown is being elevated to be able to do some other things in his call as far as how God is leading him and opening up opportunities. So that also allow us to have the opportunity to be able to elevate as well when it comes to how we're able to do the show. So at the end of the show, I'm going to share with you some information with how you are to, if you want to continue to follow us, how you can follow us. Well, let me do it for you right now while I'm here. You can join us at blogtalkradio.com and go to Theologically Speaking, and you'll be able to find us there if you want to listen online. Also, if you would like to dial in and listen, the number to reach us would be 516-666-68. The number is 516-666-8297. Let me give it to you one more time. It's 516-666-8297. Once again, we thank you all for all right. Presley, you guys can hear us out there. We hope that we have cleared the technical difficulty. Okay, she says I'm back. Actually, you know, my wife is such a partner. She's actually feeding me information, even though she could not physically be here. She is actually still monitoring and still giving feedback. So thank you so much, Danielle, for not only being a co-host of this show, but also everything that you've done. We greatly appreciate you. We love you in so many ways, both in-house, out-of-house. And I tell you, she's been a wonderful, wonderful helpmeet. Each and every one of you, from the times that we've received inbox messages or the times that people have called us or reached out to us as a way of support, once again, we want you to know that we thank you. Words can't say it enough. We're not stopping. We're still moving forward. We're just moving forward in a different place. So please feel free to join us and be there with us as we continue to allow this ministry to go forward. We're still going to be blog talking, but we're still going to be bringing you some very raw and real shows But aside from that, now that we've been elevated to the point where we can produce shows, there's going to be more coming to you from us as far as ministry is concerned. Be looking out for Tri-Scale Life Coaching. We're going to have a show on that because it has its theological or spiritual aspects of that. We have a lot of programming that we know is going to be a blessing to a lot of people. And so we're so thankful to God for all the things they've done. We're looking forward to like having some family talks as well, like have some things where like everybody would be able to benefit from, children and all. So we got a lot of programming coming through this caveat or through this avenue that's been opened up for us. So please look forward to that. Look forward to that. Look forward to that. Now, without further ado, I don't want to take up too much of our time with preliminary. So let us just get right into our word, our prayer for today. I always say we don't go about any serious undertaking without first invoking the blessings of deity. With that being said, let us bow. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this avenue that you've allowed us to minister. We ask that you continue to bless us to be able to go on the airwaves and to just continue to spread your word using every opportunity that you give to us. Lord, continue to allow us to just touch your heart, bless someone that may be looking to change their mind or curious, or maybe even seeking to develop in their walk with you. Help us to be able to call out those generational curses and influences that we may be better enabled to go about our lives and pursuing the call and the purpose that you place on our lives. But we trust you and we believe you, even during a time where politics are dark and dirty, during a time where our neighbors don't even want to speak to us, during a time where people are being robbed in our local communities and even your clergymen are finding themselves hung up with shortcomings. One of the things that we do know is regardless of what any of us go through, regardless of what we face, we trust you because, God, you never fail and your word has never failed us. So because, God, you have been the strong tower, the lily in the valley, the wheel in the middle of the wheel, everything that we've always needed, we trust you and we believe you. And so now we ask that you just breathe on us, bless us, and keep us. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare it is so. Amen. Listen, family, we've had some opportunities to just stand and minister as it relates to generational curses / influences. The reason why it's generational curses / influences because in my studies, in my understanding, I come to see them as being synonymous. There are theologians that may argue back and forth as to what the Bible is speaking of as it relates to generational curses and influences. But when we really boil them down, the principles of them both, what you'll find is they're basically synonymous. So I use them synonymous because influences, just like generational curses per se, they echo from generation to generation. And one of the things that you'll find is when you flip over into the New Testament, the Bible kind of put the onus on the individual opposed to the overarching group. And what I mean by that is the Old Testament says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will basically heal their land. So he gives us a formula for recovery based on a particular people. Flip over into the New Testament. One of the things you'll find is the Bible says that if you, now this is the individual person, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, essentially you shall be saved. So now the onus is on the individual opposed to a certain group of people. So we can't make the excuse because God holds us individually accountable for what did we particularly do with his son. So with that being said, we have a responsibility in and of ourselves. And so this is one of the reasons why I would challenge how generational curses would be a factor as much as a generational influence. If it was a generational curse, then essentially that means that God is still holding me accountable for things that my parents did. And we see that through his word, how that seems to have transitioned and is not the New Testament way of things. Now, God allows us to individually be held accountable for what we have done individually. However, things that have happened from generations above us or generations before us, our predecessors, or even some of our living relatives right now, those things can still echo through the generations, thereby becoming generational influences. So as we were talking about generational curses, different things that we talked about as it relates. And so last time, one of the things I began to reflect on, when the trash takes itself out. When somebody wants to leave your life, especially when they're toxic to you, let them go. Let them go, beloved. I don't want to preach radio show. I don't want to go over the whole complete thing all over again. But I want to simply say, when it comes to generational influences, one of the biggest things that I've seen within the generations all around is the inability to forgive. And because we have forgiveness echoing through the generations, you'll find that someone that have a low tolerance with forgiveness, and they come up hearing the language of lack of forgiveness. I'll say that again. They may have come up in a household where the language was such that there was a lack of forgiveness. And what do you think begins to happen if you're teaching your children language? Well, I'll give it to you. As you're teaching your children language, you're also teaching them culture. And as you're teaching them culture, they also begin to pick up norms. And make no mistake about it, as we look at these things on even a higher spiritual sense, because we need to have a level of spiritual intelligence about things too, then you'll also see that there are certain habits or there are certain influences. Maybe even sometimes the way we look at things spiritually affects the next generation. Those are influences as well. So if you struggle with forgiveness and you're not able to pass down the language, the biblical language or the godly language of forgiveness, essentially what the next generation that is around you will be influenced by is that lack of forgiveness language, therefore making them come into a situation where they'll have a lack of forgiveness as well. Forgiveness is something that is very powerful, and I believe that it takes a very tender heart. It takes a very spiritual person to really grasp forgiveness. Forgiveness, in a sense, it doesn't even make sense to me. Let me just be real with somebody today. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't even make sense. So that's the reason why we come to the title of this show. I know we got halfway through it, just to tell you that somebody needs to let go and let God. Generational curses are affecting us because we have not let go and let God. And particularly with this forgiveness piece, we see like so many marriages break up because the husband and the wife, they're unable to forgive each other. We see family members fall apart because they're unable to forgive each other. We see people will not even come to church or speak to people as they pass each other on the street, or people even develop a haughtiness towards each other in the workplace because somebody's offended us. And for some reason, we find it hard to forgive each other. It don't make sense to me. If you slap me, why do I need to forgive you? My face is still stinking. It's starting to turn red. I remember what it felt like. Every time I look at you in my mind, I'm re-injured. I'm re-traumatized from what you've done to me. So why should I forgive you? Well, what if it was a mistake? And even though it's intentionally, what if our lives have progressed past the situation where we once were, and I have no interest in striking you anymore, in injuring you anymore? What if I progress to the point where I feel as though we're in a space where we should we should come together and eventually heal beyond the brokenness that was caused from when I slapped you? So in a sense, in a physical sense, it really kind of don't make sense to me. But when you look at it from a spiritual sense, you are not yours. You are bought with a price. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And one of the biggest commandments that he gave us, besides love one another, is also forgive. He said, forgive if you want to be forgiven. And so with that being said, our generations are affected because, oh, man, can I deal with this? I don't know if I have time to deal with this, but I got to talk about it right here. So this white woman, police officer, she went into the wrong house, the wrong apartment, and she shoots this unarmed black man sitting on his couch. Is it egregious? Yes, it's egregious. Yes, we are in an uproar. Yes, we can't stand what happened to him. No, it's not justified. Yes, she was convicted of the crime. Did the crime justify? I'm sorry. Did the conviction or did the sentence justify the crime? Well, we could argue that back and forth. That's not what I want to hone in on. I want to hone in on the forgiveness aspect. A lot of us were saying, look at this forgiveness. The brother of the slain man, he hugged the police officer. Then on top of that, the judge hugged the police officer. The bailiff in the courtroom was fixing the woman's hair. And everybody was in an uproar about forgiveness. Now, if you don't know Christ, I can understand why you are in an uproar. If you don't know Christ, I excuse you, because this might be a hard thing for you to grasp if you are not a spiritual person. But the lack of forgiveness that I heard echoing basically from the spiritual community, it appalled me. It appalled me. Why? Because Jesus, first of all, we have to know that Jesus is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if we understand that Jesus is also God, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he's everywhere at the same time. So if he knows everything, then his crucifixion wasn't a surprise to him. Not only did he know the crucifixion was coming, but the reality is he set his own crucifixion up. So watch this. Him being God above all, right, he came into the world humbly, wrapped in flesh as Jesus Christ, right, men, us, we put our hands on Jesus, we put him on the cross, and the Bible says that God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners. Do you know what that means? That means that while we were in a process of sinning, y'all didn't hear me, let me say it again, because we sinned, okay, let me do it again because you still didn't catch it, because you're going to sin again, nope, you're missing it, because you're sinning probably right now. Nope, you missed it again. Because you're going to keep sinning continually, Jesus still loves you. While we were yet sinners, even though he knew this about us, he knew that you would confess your love, that you would say, Lord, I live for you, I'll die for you, and still go out and sin. He looked down the spectrum of time because God has authority and power over time and space continuum. That's the reason why God can make predictions thousands of years ago and they come true. So time and space continuum has no power over God, but God has power over it. So him knowing everything, he knew that all of the liars, all of the whoremongers, all of these backsliders, everything that we do right now, he knew that we would still do it, and yet he still died for us. The crime was heinous. The crime was horrible. It was despicable. It was deplorable, if you will. And I'm not convinced that it was an accident, but the forgiveness aspect of it. What kind of people are we within the Christian community when we're silent while people are spewing their unforgiveness? How many people stood up and said, hey, wait, hold on a minute. You know, this forgiveness piece is what's commanded of us. It's not suggested of us. Is not something that was merely requested of us, but it was commanded of us. I didn't see too many people, too many pastors, too many bishops, or too many of these apostles and many of these profound so-called clergymen stand up and say, forgiveness. And forgiveness is what we need to stand on. But the reason why we're unable to stand on that forgiveness is because we don't know how to let go. It's hard for us to let go. Oh, my goodness. It's tough to tell somebody after they've been injured to let go. Wait a minute. What if it's heinous? What if it's rape? What if it's murder? What if you injure me to the point where I almost lose my life? God does not predicate the injury against whether or not we should forgive. But the commandment in solidarity says simply that we must forgive. And so because we can't let it go, it means that really we have an issue with our faith. We have issues with our faith when we can't let go because we hold on to it thinking that this person is not going to, we don't want them to get away with the crime that they committed on us, with the injury that they inflicted on us. Or we think that some kind of way is going to go unpunished and unnoticed, the deed that's done against us. I'm going to hold on to this anger and this anguish, and I'm going to allow this hatred to build up inside of me because you're going to get away with what you've done to me. And the reality is what we tell God is that I don't trust you. I'm not trusting you to be God. I'm not trusting you to do the things that you said that you would do. I'm not trusting you to sit on high and look down low, neither sleep nor slumber. I'm not trusting you to be the righteous judge. I'm not trusting you to be righteous at all. I'm not trusting you to intervene in my situation. I'm not trusting you to eventually have all power in your hands. But yet I'll still go to church and sing these cute little church songs. I'll go to church and continue to shirk and jerk and act the part. But then I come back and I don't forgive nobody because I don't know how to trust God. See, when you let go, it's predicated on letting God. If you let God, then you can let go. And once you let go, then you're really letting God. It's a circular kind of situation. I'll say it again because you missed it. You might have missed it. So here it is. In order to let go, you have to let God. So let's go back. Even though it says let go and let God, let's go to let God first. All right? So if you let God deal with the situation, you trust God to have his way, regardless of what that is, regardless of what his judgment is, regardless of how he chooses to intervene or when he chooses to intervene, let me park right here and just simply say that the Bible says that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God knows my heart. Slap yourself. He sure do. But that doesn't mean that the seed that you planted is not going to reap a certain harvest that you're bound to receive. And when I say harvest, it don't always mean that you're going to get good fruit. If you plant some bad seeds, you're going to get a bad harvest. Because you might have had some tainted seeds when it went into the earth, but understand it doesn't matter how much you water it, how much you tend to it. A bad seed is a bad seed, and if it's not good enough to actually yield good fruit, then what it's going to do is either going to be barren or what you're going to yield is going to be bad. But understand that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sowed that seed, now you got to reap that harvest, which means that essentially God is trying to tell us, sit back, I got this. I'm in control. And so after you've done all of these different things, one of the things that we need to understand is that we have to let go and let God. Generational curses affect us and they trickle down or they echo from generation to generation because somewhere somebody didn't trust God. Yeah, I beat my wife because I don't trust God. If I trust God, then I would know that I'm supposed to love my wife as I love myself. And it's supposed to mirror how Christ actually gave his life for the church, how he loved the church. It's a very mysterious relationship, and I'm representing God when I'm actually in my marriage. So it's something that's really hard for us to comprehend, but if we trusted God, then understand I'd be able to let go and just trust God to intervene. I don't need to put my hands on you because you love me enough to honor me. You love me enough to have respect and obey me. And I love you enough to care for you. I love you enough to protect you. I love you enough to be solidarity, have solidarity with you, to be unified with you the way God intended. If we trust God enough, then our children would grow up because we would have groomed them in the Word of God, and they would be able to receive the Word to such a capacity that they understand that when they dishonor their parents, essentially they dishonor God. And because they want to honor God, because they've been brought up to fear Him, reverence Him, then essentially because they trust God means that now they'll honor you. They'll obey you. Yeah. Even with how we treat one another, you know, we're so quick to fight. We're so quick to be offended. We're so quick to flip each other off in traffic and treat each other any kind of way. We're so quick to buy into these negative mores that we find in our society. Society tell us it's okay to be homosexual or LGBTQ or however many alphabets they have added to this alphabet soup game that they play out here. The reality is, if you just let go and let God, if we trusted Him, if we had faith in Him, then there are certain things that we just couldn't stand on and live by, you know, as Christians. Because it would be like, in Him I live, in Him I move, in Him I have my very being. So with that being said, if I was able to let go and let God, I'd be able to stand on His word. And from generation to generation, we would not have so many afflictions. Only time the enemy wins is when we let him win. And he wins when we are not educated in the word, when we're not stooped in the word, when we're not able to pass on from generation to generation the love of God. See, energy is neither created nor destroyed by man. However, energy, it passes through certain materials or through certain masses that can convert it. That's the reason why we have power that run through the power lines that come into our homes, and we use it for various reasons. We didn't destroy this energy, but we found a way to harness and use it with purpose. Well, when someone afflicts you, understand that someone hurts you, you can easily take that negative energy and pass it on to someone else, or you can determine that I am a person that belongs to God. I am angry, but I'm not going to sin. Instead, what I'm going to do is pass on something positive rather than to be persuaded by something that negatively happened to me, thereby taking back my power. See, you will lose your power in situations when you allow your anger, your aggression, your aggravation to rule over you. Instead, you convert that to something more powerful and positive. You know, I've been hurt all my life, but I'm going to take this time to love my children. Yeah, I was touched wrong. I was put in a horrible situation, but I'm going to take this and show my child the right way to love, what appropriate affection looks like. Yeah, I've been lied to all of my life, and that's the reason why I'm going to stand on truth and give a good example of what it is to be a person of purpose, power, and principles. And that is one of the ways that we begin to defeat the generational curses / influences. We simply stand on the word of God. And when you stand on the word of God, we learn to let go and let God. Listen, this was our last time being on this station at this time, but we hope you'll join us again on every first and third Thursday at 6:30, but we're going to be at blogtalkradio.com. Instead of Servant Ambassador of Vessels, you're going to put in Theologically Speaking. Just Theologically Speaking, it should come right up. Once again, that number is 516-666-8297. One more time, it's 516-666-8297. 8297. We hope to see you there. We look forward to picking up and continually moving forward with Theologically Speaking with Jose and Danielle Dorsey. We love you and God bless.